You know, I want to say thanks again to our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing, for bringing you this show. They just like to find physical therapists' jobs. So where do you want to go? So how about this? Sign up at ptpinecast.com, and Arias is going to hook you up with a $500 gift card to Southwest Airlines. Where do you want to fly? That's because Arias can get you a job anywhere in the U.S. So hit ptpinecast.com and then decide where you want to go when you win. All from our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com.
So this is episode 247. This is something that came out of episode 245 and 246 when we were live at Stony Brook University. At the end of the episode, when we were done with talking to the faculty that we had planned, we did some Q&A with some students, and the problem was we just got great answers. So we figured we'd release it its own episode. Take a listen and enjoy the knowledge.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pinecast.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Are there any brave students who want to ask their professors a question about some, maybe either something specific or general in this context? There's always got to be somebody who's the first clapper, I'm just saying. But is there anything you've never asked your professor and you wanted to? What do you got?
I always ask all the time.
Okay. So you're not shy?
No, not at all. From the time that you guys graduated, whether that was your first degree or whatever, what's the biggest change that you've seen in our profession from then until now?
I like that question. A profession question. Yeah. You don't have to raise your hand. You're a professor. You're it.
Biggest change is healthcare provision. So the amount and the intensity that we're able to provide by insurance providers is greatly reduced. That's the biggest change. And so we need to do research to determine whether our interventions are worthwhile for longer periods of time. So we've started doing research that probably would never be funded by an insurance provider to show that more intense interventions and therapies are valid and should be reimbursed, and we're starting to have some success with that. But we have to do this work because our time that our patients will have for treatment is going to shrink.
Yeah, we want that evidence angle, and we keep saying that, so we need more of it. You were nodding along,
me?
Agnes. Yeah, you kind of nodded along.
Well, I do that, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, I guess I was nodding because of HIPAA laws as well, that ability to have collaboration, you know, with the families, especially coming from pediatrics, has really been a game changer. But you know what's something really positive?
No. What is?
Jimmy, me boy, let me share it with you.
I needed to get one more.
It's Uncle Google. It's Uncle Google, which is both good and bad, because I think for families who have come in and they've done research perhaps on whatever diagnosis, I tell the students, what's the syndrome? Gadois syndrome. Totally made up. Not really a syndrome. But families will come in and they'll be able to tell you everything that you need to know about Guillain-Barré syndrome, but all of a sudden you're looking on your caseload and you have Guillain-Barré syndrome, you don't know what it is, you go to your phone, Uncle Google, and now you have in your hand this entire knowledge base. So you have to make sure that you're going to something reputable, but that's a game changer. That ability, sort of that quick, in the moment knowledge, didn't exist when I first started.
It can be good or bad. I mean, I've heard, like, you know, somebody way smarter than me said, we have the most educated patients right now in the world, and that just changes every single day. So we need to be even more educated. It sounds cliche because it's said a lot, but that whole lifelong learner thing, like, you need to. Awesome question. Do you have one?
Can I flip it for 1 second? I want to tell you one of the things that I think is the best thing that hasn't changed is the passion and the people who come into the profession. So there's a connection, and all of you are sitting there, all have the same passion of why you want to become a physical therapist as the people who are sitting up here, your professors, as well as all the other physical therapists that have gone before you, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. What do you think? We gotta get. How you have not had a mic the whole time?
Just don't like to talk
to me. Yeah, I'll stand next to you. What do you got?
I was gonna say another positive thing is that we're starting to realize how important mobility is for everybody. So I am big into the hospital setting, and early mobility is becoming the biggest thing now. So we know that the sickest people are the ones that need to get up out of bed and move. And we don't just leave people in bed for months and months and months and, you know, deal with the repercussions later. And so you see that not only in that setting, but, you know, we worked with this a lot in Memorial Sloan Kettering with children with cancer, that the doctors didn't realize that they should refer to PT when they first come in. And by the time we would get involved as PT, they'd be all the way down the line and not able to walk and contractures and all this kind of stuff. And so bringing PT more to the forefront where, yeah, you got to get these kids up and moving right away, or people up and moving right away. And I think that that's coming. And there's a cultural shift. There's a paradigm shift happening, and that's really cool.
Great question. It's here for that girl. I was brave enough to ask the question first. We got time for a couple. Anybody got one? What do you want to know? Yeah, in the back. Be nice and loud.
If you weren't a physical therapist, what would you be?
So the professor's like, I don't know.
The students have been usually try to like roast us at the end of their career here, so they've been asking these questions to us a little bit. So I was saying, funny enough, I'd probably be a teacher.
Okay.
Like I'd be an elementary school teacher, I think.
Yeah.
If I wasn't here. Either that or a pop star. One or the other.
There's always room.
You know, when you guys came and asked me the other day, I don't remember what my answer was. Like, I'm trying to remember what that was. Well, forget it. It's gone. That was last week, girls, okay? That was just last week. I don't know. I have this vision. Would you like me to share it?
I'd love it.
So I have this vision of someone that looks like me, someone whose name is Agnes, who was named for her grandmother, you know, same me, but different. And she's sitting on the beach. In Southampton, perhaps, a nice sandy beach. And there's a fruity cocktail in her hand, maybe Prosecco. And she is really not doing anything.
Well, that's a profession. We'll call it professional woman of leisure.
Yeah.
Leisure sciences.
So I came, do you want to know what the title of it would be? Yes. Professional wave watcher.
To hold count on a
the
second.
Waves. Somebody's got to do it. It's right. Me. So Jimmy, me boy, it's me. You can't have it.
What would you do if you weren't a PT?
I've been a PT for too long. Probably a physician.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. On the beach or?
On the beach.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Eric, what do you got?
House husband. Yeah. I'd be looking for the sugar mama. I would take care of the kids all day. And that would be great.
Nerf guns and puzzles and slip and slides for days.
I have to do it. Eric.
Daddy daycare.
Eric, I have to do it. Eric would be the backup dancer for...
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears.
You can dance?
It wouldn't matter.
All right, we got time for one more. Which brave student's got a question for their professors? What do you got? Nice and loud. Okay, so I'll repeat it for everybody. But the question for the professors is, you guys were clinicians and then made your way to academia, and then what were the steps that you took? You know, the what, and I always like the why, too, because that's where you get, like, backup dancer information is the why. Go ahead.
So I started out adjuncting at various universities and teaching certain courses, and that enabled me to begin to learn how to teach. I was still a practicing clinician, so this was extra, above and beyond. Had a flexible employer who would allow me to do this, and that was a great way. And what I loved about doing that is I was constantly working in the clinic, so the students all benefited from the stories, the patient stories that that I was able to reveal. So starting that way really helped me to kind of get a sense of, you know, the demands, but it really was, I was really wrong. Because once I started at Stony Brook and taught here, then basically, there's so much more responsibility in being a primary instructor for a course. So those are the steps, I think, if you ever want to get into academia, to start offering early on. I think my first year out from PT school, I started teaching an EMG course on, you know, to the PTs in a university. So recommend it.
Give me that mic back. So for me, I always... this is going to be a real shocker to everybody, but I always loved being the center of attention.
Really?
Very shocking. So I loved doing in-services and things. So when I was working in the clinic, I liked preparing presentations and giving them and being up there and doing that kind of thing. And so when I was at Sloan Kettering, Sherry Gostick, one of our faculty members, takes the students. I know, give it up. So she takes the students to Sloan for a day, and they have a day of like lectures, and they talk about oncology, and that's kind of where they get their stuff. And I gave one of the talks when the Stony Brook students came. And I was like, you know what? I really, really like this. So I emailed Sherry and said, you know, can I get in there at Stony Brook? Like, what do I have to do? And she passed my resume on, and then that's how I got to be an adjunct on the faculty.
It's a good lesson.
I think the point is, like, go for it if you want it.
Go
like,
for it.
Yeah. If you
swing the bat.
That's another shot.
Another shot. Lay it. What do you got?
Well, I think this will, as it comes to no surprise about Susan, when I was asked to come, I turned around when they said, would you come and help? And I turned and looked to see who they were talking to. I couldn't believe it was me. Like, what would I? I'm a goofball with kids on the floor. Like, what am I bringing to the table? And that first class, I don't think I'll ever forget it, because it was, after it was over, it was like who was Lori Quinn, who is over at Columbia. She was at New York Medical at the time. And I remember her like pointing to me, trying to give me the signal, like the class is over, like literally like, and it didn't stop. And the students were asking questions. And it was really that ability that Sue Ann just spoke of. And that is, and I still feel so strongly about this, I still practice, that is, I am bringing you the most important thing that I can, because you guys are so important as much as the children and the families are. So I haven't been able to sort of leap into fully one or fully the other. I feel that the fact that I can still bring that into the classroom and share. I love the ability to be able to share and feel like I'm doing them justice. I feel like that still plays a very strong role for me.
Eric, you're up last. Ben, clean up.
I think that, as you can hear, everyone's journey into academia is widely and vastly different. It's something that most people don't realize that's what they want until they sort of get there. My journey started in PT school when I realized in class that I didn't understand how we were just told to do things and wanted to know why. And that was where it all started, was I always started to question, why is this, why is that? And realized the only way to figure out the why is to actually go and try to get some of the evidence behind the why. And that led me to want to go and get my research doctoral degree. And the next step is, where can you go with that research doctoral degree? And it's fun to teach. It's great to have people in front and to talk to them and see the light bulbs go on. And it's sort of cliche, the light bulb goes on, but it really does. Like, you could watch someone and all of a sudden it clicks and everything falls into place. And that's really rewarding. And so you got to figure out what you want to do. And if teaching is something, you should absolutely test the waters. There's lots of ways of doing that. Starting in the clinics that you're working in to do those in-services and see, how do you like it? How do you like being questioned, right? So that's one of the things, is when you're sitting up here teaching or you're doing an in-service, you're constantly have to say, people are going to ask me these things and I may not know the answer. And you need to be comfortable saying, I don't know. So if you're trying to figure out if this is what you want to do, you have lots of opportunities to do it. You guys are all going to be graduating as PTs, which are teachers. So you just got to see if you want to continue on and work on higher education or maybe not.
Yeah. You can put anything you want together. I'm a radio DJ PT. That's random. Like, that's made up. I mean, literally. I mean, I did a talk at National Student Conclave where literally it was a unique career path. You all have something in this room that no one else has, an experience. You can put it together with PT because, as we've heard, PT goes everywhere. So find, you know, there's a straight line between two points. There's a straight line between whatever random thing and PT, and you can find that. Wanted to embarrass one of your classmates. There's Kara. Kara, wave. So I want to bring Kara on the show because we were at Next in Boston, and we met there, and I had 500 pint glasses with the logo on it that had to go from one end of the conference center to the other. But on Google, it was like an inch and a half. I was like, oh, that won't be hard at all. And then I get there, and it's like 47 miles. Kara, as you can tell, probably CrossFit or powerlift or something, soaking wet, 96 pounds maybe, was nice enough to help me carry all 70 boxes of pint glasses, so I want to say thank you. You can say thank you. And then to reward her, I bought her a beer, and I said, hey, thanks. And then we start talking about me going to schools, and she said, hey, Stony Brook. And I was like, I'm down. It's Long Island. I'm in. And so she's the reason that we're doing this right now. So thank you. And we're going to get you an Arias t-shirt for that. Want to thank you guys for coming out as the audience. I want to thank you guys for being outstanding members of the show. Thank you, Stony Brook. This was awesome.
Thank you.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now Snapchat.
At PT Pintcast.
And online at ptpintcast.com.
Want to say thanks to Fox Rehabilitation for bringing you the PT Pintcast. Fox Rehabilitation is a clinician-owned and operated professional practice of full-time physical, occupational, and speech therapists across 15 states with more than 950 clinicians. Combined, we have more than 200 years of clinically excellent leadership. Our mission? To rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people, empowering our people to facilitate and provide clinically excellent care to our clients, allowing them to achieve what they once thought impossible. Are you a fit for Fox? Find out at foxrehab.org.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.